Thank the light, everyone. I am unfortunately here to spoil that the horse dies.
The horse doesn't die.
And these are my wolf brothers.
It's fucking Murta with a capital K in the middle. Murta.
Thanks, the Wheel of Time, for assuring that my wife will never watch this show with me. Good job.
Yeah, samesies. And I will be your no woman, no cry today because Moraine killed Rand's woman.
Yeah, sort of.
And I will be your voice of reason, because right after they killed a horse, Lanfear popped a dude's head, and he didn't even bring that up. Desmond didn't even care about that. Like, literally popped his head off.
An innocent man, too. This isn't someone who was attacking her.
Nice guy. He's like, "M'lady, how can I help you?"
I know, my damsel. And she's like, "I'm going to twist your head off with some air. It's going to be super dope."
Let me tell you something about that horse. That horse would kick you. He would bite you. And he would... That horse doesn't care about you. All he cares about is being fed. Horses are horrible. Horses are like four-year-olds. The only thing they want to do is eat, poop, and try to kill themselves. That is the only thing they do.
And everyone out there, these two are not speaking out of turn. Like, they fucking...
Justin loves horses. I hate horses.
I'm opposite, bro. Jeremy is not spiritually aware enough to deal with horses. Horses are amazing, and they are the most loyal animals you will ever have next to a dog.
Justin is a horse whisperer.
I am. I'm an animal whisperer in general, but
wolf brother. I got such a great. I went to the vet the other day. I took both my dogs in, and the woman was like, you know, and it's so great. They get such, you know, great. Like, everyone knows Chip. You know, Chip's always in there because he's always getting himself hurt. Diesel shows up once a year, and he's just, Diesel's fine. Diesel's one of those, like,
Chip's a border collie, so just enough said.
Oh, there you go. Okay, Chip's, yeah, he's a genius.
Diesel's a husky, so he's just always in third gear, like, not too fast, not too slow. She was just like, "Your dogs are so great." I said, "Yeah, we're blessed. They came like that." And she was down petting them, and she looked up at me, and she's like, "It's the owners."
You're like, I'll take that.
I was like, oh, thanks. All right, Jeremy.
Yes.
First take, episode 5, season 2.
I don't know what to think of this season. I really don't.
Of course, we're going to be opposite today.
So I didn't hate everything about it, but you know, did you notice there was one thing missing through the whole entire episode?
Loyal.
Matt was not in it.
Not for one second.
And Matt has not been in this season for more than 15 minutes.
I think next episode is going to be really Matt heavy, because we got a lot of Perrin and a lot of Rand this episode. So
we did get a ton of them, and I'm hoping that we get a lot of Matt. But three episodes left? We got three episodes left. That's it.
So next week is going to be like Matt getting a phone with figuring out with Egwene and Nynaeve, and man, they're all going to be getting there. So I think we're going to get a lot of that next week.
Do you think they started filming season 2 thinking, you know, Barney might come back? We have to start filming, but let's not panic.
I don't know. I really don't, because I think that they already knew that he wasn't coming back by the end of season 1.
Well, he was gone. I don't know if they knew he was. I don't know if he was like, "Fuck you and your stupid show." He was just like, "I got to go."
Yeah, I agree with Jeremy. I think what they're trying to do is backload his story so that people kind of forget about Barney Harris and that Donald Finn, like, sprinkle him in and, you know, introduce him and then kind of forget about him for a little bit, sprinkle him in like slight bits of awesomeness, and then give him, you know, some really good time towards the end of the season. And then he's your Matt forever. So
this episode, Dez, if you're going to ask me, it's a C again, like every other episode.
Really?
It's just a really straight C.
Nah, I'm definitely different.
So I agree with you. Like, this whole season, I don't know. I can't, hopefully they just keep on climbing and we end on a high note, and therefore I'm going to be fine with it. But this episode was a huge, huge jump, you know?
Okay.
Like, if the first four episodes...
Because there was action in it.
And we're
no,
there was action just because there was shit going on. And I was just like, "Holy shit, who is this? Oh my God, what are they doing?
Holy fuck,
they're going somewhere."
Okay.
You know, holy crap, that's the horn. You know, so it wasn't fighting as much as the story got shoved forward in this episode, I feel like. I mean, I know there's still.
Well, I think that they have. Well, there's only four episodes left.
I'm about to fucking go crazy.
Okay, yeah, give me a second. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Hold on.
They absolutely have to just go now. Like, if they don't want to fuck. Like, today I was, holy shit. Sorry, Justin. Quick little side note. I fucking worked today. I went to a job. I did things, and they're going to give me a paycheck. I don't, everyone out there, I haven't worked a real day in my life for 5 years. I mean, I've been working my ass off with my family and making podcasts and all that stuff. So I've been busy.
What did you do?
I've been busy. I went back to Feed First. Jeremy, I don't know if you know this, but before this life, I did team building events. Like, I worked for this company called Feed First. Companies hire them to play games for a day.
That's cool. You like that, though.
It's, I fucking love it. Like, it's so good for my soul. It's so good
team
for everything.
Exercises.
It's 99. The reason Time Pop exists, because we had like hours. We have to drive for hours to and from events. And me and Scott and Ari would just talk about time travel movies all the way to the event, all the way back.
Oh, that's how you guys met.
So
that's awesome.
How it happened. So, but anyway, someone's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm making these silly podcasts. And oh, what about what? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, the Wheel of Time. Oh, I've heard of Wheel of Time. Is it any good? I'm like, It's either brilliant because they know they have so much shit to cover, they have to slowly build, or it's the worst show ever and they're just going to tread water for 5 seasons. Get back to me. After this episode, I think it's a great show.
Really?
Me too. Me too.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah. This was the episode. This was the episode.
Okay.
Tell us about it, Justin.
Can I go? So let me start with, after rewatching the last episode, I saw all the things that Jeremy pointed out and then some. I really know, I completely miss the World of Dreams stuff. Like when Ishii's talking and he kind of like has like the kind of like, the Max Headroom double takes. Like obviously they were in Tel Riad, and, I missed the saw in Lanfear's eyes. And so after rewatching it, I loved the last episode. It was a little slower, but I still loved everything that they did. And after watching this episode, I now feel like I can like, if I close my eyes and squint really hard, I can kind of see fucking Rafe Jadakiss's fucking vision board for the show. You know, I'm starting to see why they've made some of the decisions that they've made in the first 2 seasons, and whether I agree with them or not, I'm liking the overall vision. You know, I didn't, at first I was kind of like, Lanfear, you know, is here. She heals herself. Obviously, Jeremy, true power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like she was using the true power. And I'm guessing that they're doing that to show that because she died and the Dark One brought her back, now she has access to the true power, right? Is that kind of?
Well, or she already did have it.
Right. Or, you know, he's granting her enough to because generally that's one of the big, you know, kind of canon things is that, you know, an Aes Sedai cannot heal themselves.
Right.
You know, or a channeler cannot heal themselves. Well, she just healed the fuck out of herself. So I don't hate it. I think it's.
I was going to say, we don't know that they can't do that in this show. But when Moraine was hurt, she couldn't heal herself.
Right. She says we cannot heal herself. So that being said, I love how Lanfear's cruelty and everything stepped up this episode. We got so much great stuff. We'll get into it. We're going to have to run through it fast because there's so much. But, I just sat back and I watched it and I went, wow, this is the one that brings all the kind of like, or maybe not all, but so many of the kind of like weird decisions that I didn't love, you know, into focus for me in a big way. Like one of the things I noticed is Varen. She's definitely not ditzy, but she has this kind of unassuming nature that she gets you saying stuff before, like her scene with Shirium. She like has Shirium saying some stuff before she even realizes it. And I think that, you know, they're doing it in a way where she's not ditzy per se, but she, you know, she kind of disarms you almost like, you know, like your grandma would. And you're like, you're telling her about all the shit, bad stuff that you did before you even really realize it.
It's funny. I put in Varen is Jessica Fletcher.
Fair enough.
She's Murder, She Wroting it. Shirium.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing.
She's Columbo, too.
Columbo plays the stumbling idiot and he gets people to tell on themselves. And that's what she was doing.
And that's kind of what Varen did in the books, too. She was always just like bumbling like, oh, and by the way, I've known everything everyone's doing the whole entire time. And then I've just been playing the dummy.
Yeah. Deus de mar, motherfucker. The Shan Shan just get, you know, scarier and tougher and more kind of like badass as a, I don't know if misguided villain is the word I'm looking for, but you know, you get some shit with Turak and he's talking about how, you know, we're guided by the light and we're doing for the light, and we get to see. And I blinked, but did we actually get to see the Horn of Valyr?
Barely.
Not really, no. They show it inside of the box. That's it.
You know, you're getting an insight to their motivations. At least while they're, you know, kind of shitty, they have their reasons for believing the way they do, even though it's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And finally, we get to see fucking Pond and Fane.
And like the one guy just says, you know, once you swear the oaths, they're not that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you know.
Yeah.
Which is totally in line with the books as well.
He's like, then they kind of leave you alone.
One of the things that I was thinking of when this episode was going on is I think that if they would have put the guy who plays Elias with Egwene and Perrin when they were running in the first season and then they meet up with the Tinkers, wouldn't that have made their series and their whole like arc so much better? I think it would have made their...
Yes, but they didn't have the screen time to do it.
And Elias's whole thing is to get Perrin away. And so that would have fucked up Perrin's whole arc of being with the people.
Yeah.
For that story.
So they could have slightly changed that arc because it's not him getting away. It's more him of understanding and accepting what he's going to have to deal with in the future. Also, what they could have done is cut out all the crap with Swan that they didn't need to put in.
That's true.
All that garbage that was just superfluous that she's not even been in the second season. She hasn't even been in it at all.
Hashtag, where the fuck is Swan?
No, nobody cares because
seriously,
it's not that big a deal. But she's a big actress, and so they had to put... Oh, I don't know. Sorry. It's just so much that I'm so irritated with.
Adding stuff to force you to take away stuff.
What did you think of them, you know, kind of like taking away Suroth's mask and shaving the sides of her head and like cutting off the nails? Like, that was pretty...
When they cut her nails off, it was like... She puts her nails out to be cut off because she knows what is going to come. And when they cut them off, she's like, "What? What? What'd you guys do?"
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
she's all surprised, like, "Oh my god!"
I think it was like, "Oh, not that short."
Yeah, seriously, you were supposed to.
I was going
to
get like half, not, you know, just completely cut down to the nubs.
We've had a lot of conversations about this, but I think they are real nails. They're just supported.
Yeah.
By
they're totally real
things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are just supported. They have like a, you know, some sort of a.
So is there a reason why you can't just blow the horn whenever the fuck you want? Like, do you have to be mid battle for the warriors to answer the call? Like, why wouldn't Turok just take the horn out and blow it and be like, yeah, this is my army now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, so on the horn, it says, let he who blows me not think of glory, but of salvation.
Oh.
So the times when it's blown, it's only blown two times in the entire series. One during a battle when the guy's like, we have no other choice. And then another time when somebody else blows it and they're like, literally, they're about to be killed. And there's like, they think they're trying to get it to the person they think can blow it. And they're just like, I'm going to try it because it's the only thing I have. And they blow it and it's like, boom.
So the Shan Shan think they can blow it because they're taking what's rightfully theirs. So that's why they think the army will fight with them.
But they're thinking of glory, right? And they're not thinking of salvation.
Well, not really. I mean, they
well,
kind
not
of.
Really. They're talking about, well, he's talking about how, you know, they want to triumph over the shadow and they're.
That's not salvation, right? That's actually triumphing. You want to triumph. It's not salvation.
But to take back what was stolen from you, that's kind of Salvatorian. Salvalicious.
You're like Ben Kenobi. You're like, what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
Sometimes the truth is not the truth you hear is not the truth you
exactly.
seek, or something like that.
What did you? Okay, Justin, I have a question for you. What do you think that Dane Bornhold starts off, and he's not a jerk?
God damn it. I'm going to get there, dude. I have
okay, go.
One of the things that I got a couple more. And it's just like, God damn it. They're going to make us like Dane too. When they make us kind of feel for Leandrin. They make us like Dane. It's just insane.
Yeah. Like there's no real super bad guys. Leandrin is actually sympathetic. where in the book, she is absolutely not sympathetic. There is no sympathy for her.
I do like that they're going to make Dane more likable because he's not a bad guy. And his son, or his being the son of a guy who was actually a really good guy.
Yes.
And you see immediately his friction with Eamon Valda, you know, who's obviously still a piece of shit. He's not going to not be a piece of shit.
Did you notice too that he's still injured?
Yes.
So do you think that that he's still injured, or do you think he's permanently injured?
Eamon Valda?
Yeah. But it's like a leather strap, like holding his arm up.
I mean, it has been a while, so.
It's been months, like 5-6 months, right?
Dude, yeah. You know what? You got to think he probably is like maimed in a certain way. And, you know, not about to let someone use the power on him. So
yeah,
he's all on that. I noticed that Moraine still seems to be holding to being unable to lie. It seems like.
Yeah.
I noticed a couple of times where she could have fibbed. You know, she left it very ambiguous. Yeah. Like I said, she's.
We don't know that she's cut off from the source, right?
Right. Well, I mean, we know that because we're book readers, but I think the show, I don't know, Des, what do you think? I mean, obviously you have inside knowledge, but.
I think it's old habit just because it's not like the oaths are constantly twisting your words. You're constantly trying to figure.
It is kind of like that. Like you could literally physically try to lie and they will prevent you from it.
Right. And so because of that, you, after 50 years, you learn how to use your words carefully to not get choked out by the one power.
That's right, absolutely true.
So, and dude, when the wolves came on and started like doing this guy right here, this little cutie pie. Real talk, and this is no lie, this is no exaggeration. He went up and booped Hopper on the screen. I swear to God. He literally went up and he will watch TV, but he doesn't go up to TV, but he went up and he like stuck his nose to his nose. And I'm like, do you like Hopper? And he looked at me and he like booped it again. I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
Is that Thor?
No, that's Winston.
That's Winston? Okay.
And he looks like a little coyote.
Named after cigarettes. I love it.
Does Celine reveal herself this quick in the books?
Sort of, not really.
I want to say.
Or not, I shouldn't say reveal herself, but does she go like full?
It's by the end of the second book. End of the second book. So there's a scene at the end of the second book where Rand is gravely injured. And Min is laying there with him, trying to keep him warm. And Celine walks in and says, you know, take care of him because he's mine. And she says that she's Lanfear.
Okay. And then she goes,
that's right.
Goes to the dark side.
And then walks out. Like, she's like, okay, for now, you can take care of him. But just know, he's mine. Okay. Did you guys notice when Varen gets back to the tower and she goes to meet the two sisters, the two brown sisters? One of them is Cho Chang.
From
Harry Potter.
Oh, no way.
She becomes a brown Aja.
Is that, yes! I knew I recognized her.
Oh. When I saw her, I was like,
I knew I recognized her. She's got that hardcore Scottish accent.
Yes. I was like, why? I was like, why does she sound so familiar? No, she's Scottish. She's Scottish. I was like, why is she so familiar? Why is she so familiar?
Yeah.
And why she, and then I looked at, I was like, I did the x-ray on the TV. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, that's right.
Yes. Is she the one that sneaks into the office?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm looking at her right now.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, rad. Good for her.
She ends up, you know, turning down Harry Potter and then goes to the Brown Aja to study.
I'm sorry, Justin. I want you to go through your notes here in a minute, but I keep looking at mine.
No, it's all good. No.
Why can't a wolf drink beer?
Yeah, right.
He just doesn't hang out in cities very much. So he's like being around people. So you got to be around people to get beer.
He doesn't get beer.
Who?
I don't know.
You don't find beer in the wild.
But if you missed it that much, I mean, I don't know. That just seems like an easy fix.
He really
hates
people. You'll find out why Elias avoids people.
Yeah.
And Aes Sedai's especially eventually.
You just get a keg every now and then. You don't. Yeah.
Where's he gonna put it? He's gonna put it in his wolf pelt around his Saint Bernard's neck. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Well, yeah. You train your wolves. He's got a whole pack. You can have one around each neck. You know, Varen, man, she just looks so cool. The costumes.
Yeah.
God, everything, every set, and everything. Apparently, Browns like a drink too. Apparently,
yeah, they do. Yeah, the lady's like, she like pops the cork and just drinks it. Right,
yeah,
the
little
bottle.
Person was just like, good times, boo boo. Well, and also we'll slide to this next. Nynaeve obviously starts asking the right, you know, like in that movie AI with the, or what is it, iRobot? That detective is the right question. You know, she's like, hey, you channeled against us to hurt us. You shouldn't be able to do that.
Hey.
And it's like, yeah, it's good job, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be shielded in the ways, that's for sure. They're all just like kind of tied up and shielded. I'm like, well, it seems like a really bummer. Jeremy, here's a question. The three oaths story that Leandrin tells, that's new canon, is it not?
What do you mean by that?
Did you not catch that? She says,
No.
At a certain point,
it is okay.
There was a ruler that demanded that we, because we were too powerful, that we had to be bound by oaths or something. Is that something that was from the books? I don't remember that.
So it's slightly changed from the books. So what happens is Archer Hawkwing lays siege to Tar Valon.
Oh, that's right. That's how they got them to back off. Right.
But it wasn't even that. He dies while the siege is going on. And then they start fighting over the kingdom. It's literally like Alexander the Great, like, he dies, and then they just split up the kingdoms. So what they do is almost like what a company does, so that the EPA doesn't come in and find them. They go in and they like, hey, they come and they say, here's all the things that we did. All right, here you go. And please don't find us. So what they're doing is they're going ahead and they're saying, like, we're going to put these oaths out so that people don't, you know, come and look for us and act like we are, you know, above ourselves or anything like that. Because they have the power of a god, like in the episode before that, where they say that, and they need to have the trust of the people so that they don't think that they're going to just use it to rule over them. And so that's why they do it. So that's why Archer Hawkwing was going against them. He was like, you guys are too powerful.
Well, it's kind of like, well, we're going to make the general public trust you by throwing these and try to not fear you by throwing these oaths on you. So they agreed to it to, you know, keep the peace.
He didn't put it on them. They just agreed to do it so that they wouldn't have to, you know, put up with it anymore. That type of thing.
I guess that makes sense.
But that's canon.
I guess, yeah, it's a little, canon. Like Jeremy said, it's a little bit different, but it is, yes, it's definitely canon. I remember now that he's saying it. I was like, oh, right. Jeremy, or Desmond, for that matter, do we think that Leandrin's trying to recruit? Because, you know, Nynaeve says, oh, you weren't trying to, you know, recruit me to the Red Aja, were you? And she's again, duh, Captain Obvious. Do you think she's trying to recruit her so hard? I mean, obviously, she's very strong, but she seemed like she felt a little bad giving him to this Shanchan. And that's the only one's bonds that she burned away. She left Egwene and Elaine. I don't know if she didn't leave him shielded, because obviously Elaine channeled, and I watched her. You can see her dissolve the shield as she's kind of going into the ways. But the only one's bonds that she burned away was Nynaeve's. Do you think that's because of the block and she's afraid she wouldn't be able to channel and not defend herself? Or do you think she just did it because she has some sort of, I don't want to say feelings for Nynaeve or whatever, but, you know.
I think she wants to be on the Shanchan's good side by bringing them Domani, but they can also go fuck themselves. Like, I feel like it was like, I brought you your fucking, your Aes Sedai, and I hope they kill you. So, bye.
Well, yeah. And that's a pretty precarious position pretty precarious position for Leandrin to be put in. Even though she put herself there, she could easily be shielded and taken Domani also.
Easily?
Yeah. Well,
all those Domani's there, yeah, they could have blocked her pretty. I mean, she's strong, but she ain't that strong. There was, what, three Domani's? So you're talking the power of basically six people.
Yeah. So here's my thoughts. What I think is Leandrin is told to try to recruit Nynaeve, right? Because they want to get someone who's super strong. And then when she is told to bring her to the Shanchan, then she does that as well. But she also realizes that Nynaeve is the most powerful healer and her son is dying.
Right.
Oh. Right.
So.
Good call.
I think what she's thinking is either way, if she gives her to the Domani, she gives her over to whatever the Dark One wants, or Ishmael wants.
It's like win-win-win for her.
It's win-win, right? So she does what the Dark One wants, she gets that. If she lets him go and then Nynaeve gets away, and then Nynaeve comes back and kind of owes her one, then maybe she can help heal her son. And then even then, she can like still turn on her and give him to the Dark One. Or to Ishmael.
I don't think Nynaeve's going to feel like she, quote, owes her one. I think she's going to fuck it. She was going to kill Lan just for taking off with some kids. So I think she's going to try to fuck. She's going to try to pull a Lanfear. Dude, Lanfear, she rips that guy's head off. Then she sews that lady's mouth shut. That was some wicked shit.
I didn't like the sewing the mouth shut, personally. That was kind of like, that's not a... that's not a power that you would have in the books. Sorry.
What?
I don't see why not, though.
Sewing somebody's mouth shut.
Just because no one used it, it doesn't seem beyond their...
Well, you could do it with air, but it almost looked like she had some sort of threads, but you could do it with air and leave it tied off, but you would just gag them. But I mean, maybe that's how you do a gag of air.
Yeah, maybe.
Just seems like, you know, they're just trying to exercise their cruelty, which is another thing. It's like, I am fully in on the way they've portrayed Lanfear now. I'm actually loving how they're portraying Ishi with his like little fucking homoerotic daddy stuff. Like, it's like the Suroth mentions like the pet wolf, you know, and he kind of is like, what's none of my desires are none of your business. And he says like one sentence to Suroth and she immediately cows. So it's like, I would like to know what he has over her. Whether it's just exposing her as a dark friend or something else, I just, you know, that's interesting to me because she immediately was like, okay, my bad, master. You know, so that was interesting.
Can Liandrin use the one power in the book? Because that's like that.
What? Yeah.
The one power. Who can use the one power? Who can?
Everyone. You're thinking true power.
Oh.
Only people who can use a true power are generally like Forsaken, or there's some, you know, strong dreadlords towards the end of the books that get a little bit of the essence of the dark one.
And that's basically Sidene and Sidar together.
No, it's literally the Dark One's essence. So it's something else entirely, but like incredible. It's like, it's worse than Sidene with the taint, like times a million.
Okay.
Jeremy, so I wasn't sad that it, I mean, I'm sad that it's not Gaul because I love Gaul, but the way Avi talks, the way she, first of all, that's the second Aiel woman that we've seen, and god damn, do they kick ass.
We haven't even seen a guy fight yet. What's the guy
that's
fight?
That's what I'm like, saying. Like, eat, with the, I know, like, that'd be pretty funny. Like they throw their spear, like, you know, like someone who can't throw a baseball. That'd be pretty funny.
That would be hilarious.
Or, you know what, just a group of Aiel fighting together, like maybe like a couple of, like three Aiel, like fighting a fade or something. That'd be pretty cool.
One thing I got to say, though, is Avieta's armbar was super weak, like so bad. Like, it was
oh, my God.
Armbar.
Hey, did she touch a sword, though, and then throw it at that guy?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she threw it, but she picked it up and used it to block with, at least, or something.
I don't know if it was a sword, though. I thought like maybe that was a long knife or something like that.
It was just a dagger, bro. It's fine.
If she touched a sword, like that would be even worse than the Rand's mom not pulling her veil up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they don't touch a sword.
Why is that?
Yeah, they really don't. It has to do with...
There's a lot of lore. Yeah, so...
Yeah, a lot of shit with it.
A sword for the Aiel. A sword is only used for killing. A spear can be used for, like, killing game to put food in your pot. An arrow can do the same. Stuff like that. A knife is a tool, right? Used for things.
Right.
But a sword is only used for killing.
So it's basically a loophole, a violence loophole.
Yeah.
Did you see that Perrin grabbed a hammer the first time?
Yeah.
And then
he dances well.
Yeah. Dude, I love that. That was such a
before I turn my page here, I just wanted to remind Jeremy, Lanfear says he is still so young.
Oh god, oh, Jesus. Yeesh. Why does your boy Dane have Perrin's axe, dude? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know that that's even Perrin's axe because it's a double half moon, right? It's not the half moon with the spike on the end.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know what they're going to do with that. It was kind of cool, but whatever.
Perrin, on his way to Falm, he is going to stop somewhere and he is going to work with the blacksmith and he's going to make his axe.
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you.
You know what?
I'm telling you.
It might happen. That totally might happen.
Do you think they would move? Because they could move that up and make Malenir, but I feel like.
No, they're not going to do that because you need to have somebody right. else to help him with.
Needed Grady.
Does he have Mjolnir?
Exactly.
Mjolnir?
Yes, it's a take on Mjolnir. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Sorry, my bad. That's the wrong hammer. My bad, wrong hammer.
Yes, and if Perrin throws it, it comes back to him. And he goes, he can whistle for it. He can whistle. Mjolnir, here, boy. Did you guys watch the last stupid Thor movie? It was so bad.
No, I started to. I turned it off. It was all right.
Nobody loves Taika Waititi more than me. I have watched Hunt for the Wilder People probably 6 times. And I've watched Jojo Rabbit probably 5 times. I love those movies. That movie was not good.
So one of the things that I kind of, like I said, that made me really start to think, like with this episode, really start to bring it, like to kind of see the story as a whole and kind of hopefully see where they're going, is that you're still getting, like in the first three books, you kind of get like, well, the next big battle is it. You get that at the Eye of the World. You get that at the end of Great Hunt. You get that at the end of Dragon Reborn. And I do feel like they're doing a good job kind of conveying that. I'm feeling it right now. You're like, it's going to happen. It's the, even Ishmael says, he's like, you know, the last battle is coming. It's going to be in the sky. And you know, the dragon.
It's going to be here.
It's going to be here and everything. Why do we think Baron is looking so hard for the Wonder Girls? Because that's not really book, is it?
Yeah, no, not really. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I think that what it's setting up the mystery of the people in the tower trying to figure out where they went. Because in the books, everyone is lied to by the Amarylin. Like, they're off hunting the Black Aja. They did it on their own. Yes. And so that sets up something completely different.
Varen caught Shirim off guard. But do you think that she is lying? Well, actually, we get a little something coming up, too.
Yes.
We get the first mention of compulsion. And even before they said it,
yeah,
when the Brown sister says, oh, there's a hitch in her writing here. And Varen's like, I was like, oh,
Cho Chang.
So I was like, could it be Cho Chang? Could it be, you know, could it be compulsion already? Could they be already breaking it out? And then, you know, 30 seconds later, Varen's like, boom, could it be someone under compulsion? And I was like, oh.
When Varen was questioning Shirim, and I was like, oh, man, are they already going to set something up that happens way later in the books, really early? Because Shuri was like, what? Oh, look right here. That looks like they're supposed to be gone. And it just looked so fake. You know, it looked like she was lying. You know, she's not supposed to be able to lie, obviously.
Right.
And then when, so Varen says, could it be compulsion? So that was like, okay, that kind of covers for what's going on. And I was kind of surprised at that.
You think that, like, you know, there's, as a book reader, the wheels start turning. You're like, oh God, is that, you know, is she trying to throw one or the other off the trail? Is it really compulsion? Is it, oh God, oh God.
Well, you guys realize they choreographed the ending of the series already, right?
What do you mean?
Ishmael says, will you betray me? And Lanfear says, of course.
And you know what? Not wrong.
No, they're not.
Totally not wrong.
Yeah, I'm thinking just like, you know, Shirim and Baron already have pretty complex storylines, and I think that they are going to have their own bit of that for this, but I'm not sure how it's going to go. You know, maybe it'll come back to the same place, Jeremy, in the end, and it will be actually even cooler if it does because of what's going on now. And if they go a different way with it, I'm not mad either. I really loved this episode and the stuff with that. Okay.
One of the things I really didn't like was when Moraine and Rand are talking, and she's telling him about Lanfear, and she says that one of the, you know, in all of the stories, that the Dragon Reborn and Lanfear were an item together, basically something like that. And I was like, that's not what he's called. He's called the dragon. He's not reborn. He's the dragon.
Yeah, he's the dragon.
Well,
Rand is the dragon reborn.
Well, no, but right. if she's...
No, 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 no. Des, so if I died and then I came back again, that would be Jeremy reborn. I'm Jeremy. I'm not Jeremy reborn.
Right, but she's been following... He's come back more than... This isn't the first time that the dragon's been reborn.
Not in the books.
Right.
Yeah. Not in the books.
Which, and I think this is another, like, one of your like subtle, not so subtle nods is to the lack of subtlety. They have to let you know that this has been something that's been going on over and over and over. Because when Ishmael starts talking about that towards the end of the books, you're like, wait, you know, he acts like he was fighting with it even before Luz Theron. Like, he starts to say that. He's like, we've been fighting for, you know, eons, you know.
I don't think it's too hard for people to understand that, like, the guy that was the baby, the baby holder, right?
Oh, God.
Was the dragon. What's
wrong? Don't get Desna started on that damn baby.
Right?
Right.
So that guy was the dragon. And then when he died and then came back, Rand, he's the dragon reborn.
But he came back more than just Rand. He's been back. He's been on Earth since, in between those two lives.
Nope.
What? No.
Nope. Never been reborn. He hasn't.
Well, Ishmael talks about how you've had lives that meant nothing and have no consequence and died before you could do anything. So,
but I think that's in the ultimate long turning of the wheel, not just in the last.
That was the first dragon, not the dragon reborn, reborn.
So that means Luz Theron was the dragon reborn.
So you have to understand, right? It's a seven spoked wheel, which doesn't make any sense, but like it always comes back, right? To those same spokes. So you always have a dragon and you always have a dragon reborn. And so if you remember that, and it's been a billion years since that happened, whatever, right? Then if Eshimael, who remembers it, or at least thinks he understands it, he's seen all of those turnings of those wheel, right? So if it's done it 50 times, he remembers all of it, or acts like he
does. This conversation belongs on Time Pop.
Yeah.
It kind of does.
It's way too far in the weeds.
I don't have that big of a problem with the Dragon Reborn thing. I think it just helps clarify it. That's not that big of a deal. So you guys saw when Leandrin released the shields, right? You guys always saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to see some good channeling a little bit with Elaine. I didn't think she was going to be the first one to fucking buck up, but I mean, it makes sense because she's been attempting to, you know, channel at home a little bit. So, dude, what about the collar? That was fucking cool.
It was like a Tony Stark collar. It was like, boom, throw it on. It's like,
yeah, it was very Iron Man. It was very Iron Man. And then the leash, dude, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty good.
I liked the weave leash before the physical leash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool.
That was really, because for a minute, I didn't think we were going to see it, because we haven't seen a physical leash yet. So I didn't think we were going to get one.
Yeah, I knew they were coming. I saw a little blurb about one of the effects persons, like, there are leashes too. She goes, for effects reasons, you don't see them all the time. And I was like, oh shit, okay. So I thought that was really cool. And like, oh, Egwene, it's going to be bad for you.
Oh, did you notice too that when Eshimael and Lanfear are talking that she mentions Mogedion and Grendel?
Yes, I've got that written down too.
But she doesn't mention any of the guys. She just says the boys.
Maybe that's because they haven't decided which ones they're going to put in yet.
It's very possible, right?
Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's what I was starting to see. I was like, you know, I feel like they're trying to wrap up almost every season. So if they ever don't get to finish, it's not completely dropped and they could like finish it in a movie or something.
What do you think? What do you think, Justin? Do you think they'll use the names of all of them, or you think they'll make one up? Like there's like Mogedion, Grendel, and then the guys are Ravin, Belal, and Steve.
Sam Damdred.
Sam Damdred.
As Damdred, as Samael.
I think what they should do, I think they should combine Samael and Damdred. And then I think they should combine Ravin and Asmodian.
That would work.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah.
So if you combine those two, okay, but that leaves you.
There's not a lot that goes on in.
That gives you four.
Well, that means you don't have, because Samael's story is practically nothing. So in combining them, you can expand Damdred's story from Shara.
Yeah.
And it can be much more fleshed out and better. And he has the same kind of hate, basically, that Samael had for him.
Yeah.
For Luz Theron. So I think that's fine. Ravin, and you could even get some sort of the Morghaz.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, instead of picking up his Asmodian teacher in the waste, maybe he picks him up in Camelon. And, you know, he's been whining and dining Morghaz, you know.
And if there's going to be eight of them, and you already have the two ladies that she's mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grendel and Mogedion.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird that she said that Mogedion is crazy, because that is not what she's like in the books. She is incredibly smart and cunning. She's very, what would the word I
careful.
I wouldn't say practical. Careful. Very careful.
Careful.
They call her the spider because she hides in the shadows.
Yeah, she's extremely pragmatic and careful.
Yes, very careful. So you got those two, and then you got, so that would give you three ladies, and then five guys, right? So that would give you eight, if there's eight. So you got Eshimael already, and then you need four more guys. So who are they going to be? Asmodian, probably, Damdred, Samael, but then who? Belal?
Asmodian, for sure. No, I don't think Belal makes the cut, man. I think you could actually pile him in with Samael and Damdred even.
Yeah, okay.
Or you know what? They do make a mention of, you know, if he releases all of them, you know, kind of we're fucked. But, you know, what if maybe some just don't get released?
Yeah, possible. That's possible, too.
Oh, you know, well, these four guys never made it to the party.
And like he was walking around in a room full of seals, right?
Yes.
There were seals. Yeah. Around there. Yeah. I don't know if that was actually what they were. Or if it was just decorations like that he picked out that looked like him.
Yeah. So just keep him sharp.
Yeah. Stay close.
I just want to feel like my friends are close by. I just need a talisman. It's fine. Jeremy, was Barthanas, he was a dark friend in the books, right?
Yeah, he was. He totally was.
I was going to say, I really liked the stuff with her family after this episode and rewatching the second episode. It's given some character to that. And I'm curious now, I'm like, you know, is her family going to be dark friends? Are they going to sell her out or not?
It's going to be interesting these next few episodes, I think.
But we got to get to the world of dreams. Ishii and Rand, and very, very tender touches on the face. And he says, oh, Lanfear, you're messing with my dreams again. It was like, you know, he's all in his Miami Vice outfit, you know, with his chest
his
open.
PJs were so rocking. They were so Flock of Seagulls. I loved them.
Dude, I was just like fucking Crockett Tubbs. What's going down, dude?
That guy should be playing a keytar.
He was gonna about to go jump in his fucking in his Lamborghini, dude. It's fine.
He was. I could just hear the Miami Vice theme song playing.
Seriously. I do like that we're getting kind of like the Telenunriad, you know, kind of forsaken, you know, staff meetings type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
And I'm totally okay with them kind of making them a little bit like they'll work together, even though, hey, like Des said, oh, you're going to betray me? Well, of course I am, stupid.
Yeah, duh. That's what we do.
That is them to a certain extent, but in the books, it's they're married. It's one of those things. It's not so much like kind of like, haha, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's like, yeah, fuck you. They don't play nice together at all.
One of the things that, did you guys catch this? When Elias is talking to Perrin, he says, he's talking about people who are in his pack and people who are not in his pack. And he says, your wife wasn't, neither was your wife. She was not in your pack.
Yeah.
And then Perrin's like, you don't know me. But I think, Justin, dude, you called this from the very beginning.
I hope so.
And I think, Desmond, you might have said the same thing.
We agreed on it.
I was not on board.
Yeah.
I was not on board. I was like, no. You guys are right. You guys are totally right. You got it. You called it from the beginning.
All right, I'm closing up shop.
Close it up.
Well,
all right, be quick.
Okay, let's see. Apparently, when you get the white pajamas, you can channel the true power. I am not making... I do like how they're kind of speaking the old tongue and going back and forth. That's really cool.
Yes.
What do you think he said when he said, Matt was born mine?
Everyone at home, Jeremy and I just threw our hands up and shook our head.
Yeah. We give him that. Uh-uh.
I don't even have a theory yet. After only watching it once, I'm going to think about it. But and what do you think that Ishii's playing at? Like bowing down to Turok and shit? Like, is it just Turok has something that he wants?
Yes.
Besides the horn? I mean, he just gave him the horn. But what do you think is...
Yeah, I think that he's playing his game. He'll do whatever he has to. He knows he's in charge.
Okay. I just thought, you know, if he had... I was trying to think of something. Maybe he's just trying to control their armies or something. But it's just... I don't know, you know. And then, the last thing I didn't love, the one thing that I was kind of like, meh, about the episode, and that was literally only one thing, and like I said, this episode made all the rest of them make so much more sense, is that, well, Lanfear went to the dark because Luzerne broke her heart. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, it's like, it's never that simple, bro, but okay. And that's it.
I just want to remind everyone out there, again, we're kind of, you know, to make sure we get these out hot and off the presses. I'm keeping them a little bit tight. We're going to have plenty of time to break these down minute by minute for the rest of the year. So we definitely missed a few things. We will catch them later and we will dissect them into their personal intricate weaves. Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thankthelight. We would like to thank Patrick. Thank you, Patrick, for joining.
Yes, thank you, Patrick.
Our grand Patreon league. You are awesome. Everyone, join the Patreon so Patrick isn't quite so lonely in there. We need more of you. So what we're going to do on the Patreon, because we don't want to put any Wheel of Time content behind a paywall, what we're going to do is we're going to watch some other fantasy movies and unfairly compare them to the Wheel of Time. For our first month, because we know you guys are all Amazon Prime subscribers, somehow we deduced that through the fact that you're watching The Wheel of Time, we're going to do the new Dungeons & Dragons movie because it is free on Prime. So check out the new Dungeons & Dragons movie. It'll be out. We'll have our episode out by the end of September. We're going to record it next week. It might take me a minute to get it out, but check that out. And Patrick also, we're going to do it right here and right now. Patrick gave us, I asked him for a movie. He gave us a great list. Some of them we've already talked about, but we're going to decide right now which one of Patrick's movies we're going to do in October. So he mentioned the old Dungeons and Dragons of movie from the year 2000. So,
which I've never seen.
Me neither.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I've never seen it either. And I think it's pretty bad. So we will definitely get to that one. I don't think we're going to do D&D back to back. But that one is definitely on the list in his what he calls terrible adaptation to humorously eviscerate. Anyways, bad movies that we can just
roast.
You roast.
Yes.
Dungeons and Dragons, Aragorn, or The Last Airbender.
Oh, yes.
I know Jeremy's got something.
Oh, I would do the. Oh, God. I would just so much.
One that I've never heard of, but he thought it was kind of interesting. And it's new, so that would make it interesting. The Green Knight. Or, of course, one that I was kind of like, I'll throw this on the back burner. But since we have a wonderful patron that's just going to put it right in our face, The Princess Bride.
That's the one. I was actually thinking Princess Bride as you were reading this list. So I vote Princess Bride.
But The Princess Bride is a perfect movie. Like, what are we going to do? Like, yeah, that's a great scene.
They don't have to be bad movies.
Do you want me to cry? Do you want me to cry? Is that what you want? You want me to cry? I'll cry.
Jeremy. I want to need you to just exhibit A.
Sorry.
We did a podcast about Willow. We can watch the fucking Princess Bride.
Okay, fine.
Just saying. That's my vote. But I mean, whatever. I don't really care. I'm down with any of those. We're going to have a great time. It'll be fun.
I like it. I like it.
It's a great list, too.
It's a fun movie. I think we'll have fun doing it. And there's, like I said, he put some great bad movies on there that we'll get to eventually. We'll kind of go back and forth. I think the one movie we're doing this month is great. I like the new Dungeons & Dragons movie. So, so if you join the Patreon, we will send you a Wheel of Time sticker. And if you are one of the first 10 patrons to subscribe, you will be able to select one of the movies we discussed, just like Patrick just chose Princess Bride for us. And if we get 30 subscribers by the end of season 2, you will all receive a t-shirt. So everyone get to work out there. Sign up for the Patreon, help us out. Jeremy needs a microphone arm so bad. So if you're tired of listening to Jeremy bang on his table while he talks,
I tried so hard not to do it.
Get on the Patreon and we'll get him an arm. We're going to elevate that microphone off of his table. If you like this show and you would like to continue to support us for free, we just ask again, please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf. Justin is Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Justin is at Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Send us questions and comments and your thoughts about season 2 to thankthelight@gmail.com. And if you're looking for another great podcast to listen to, look no further than this feed right here. All month, people, I am putting other podcasts from my network on this feed every Wednesday. So check it out. Pod Swap. We're going to have fitness and nutrition, time travel movies, comedy spirituality. That is one single podcast of comedy and spirituality. It is fantastic. Check them out. If you like them, go search for them on your podcatcher of choice, or you can find them all at whatsoundsawesome.com. And on that note, I just want to remind you that my water is yours.
Real quick, I just want to, if you're new and you're high, I just want to hype up a little bit. As soon as the SAG after strike is over, I'm really still hoping to get Guy Roberts. He said he's going to come on. I'm hoping to be maybe his first interview in a Wheel of Time fandom thing post spike. So that would be cool. I'm trying to get Lauren from Unraveling the Pattern on. He said he would come on as well. He's just been obviously very busy like us. I'm looking forward to the commentaries even more so now after this episode. And I'm looking forward to having the editor on again. I'm excited. There's going to be a lot of good stuff going forward. So it's stay tuned, man. And may you always find water and shade, nerds.
Hey, and Guy Roberts, congratulations on being putting your dead corpse in this episode. So I'm sure you got paid for another episode of Wheel of Time. So good on you.
Hopefully.
I love it.
Yeah, hopefully. And John from What Up too, right? We're still working on him.
Also, John, he said also that he would, I'm still working on him, but he also, like us and everybody else doing Wheel of Time stuff, is very busy. They both have some great video. They both have some great videos out on the first like breakdowns. I've been trying to not watch them until we do our commentaries so that I could kind of just be really comprehensive with it. But those guys always, they always uncover good shit. So
yeah, they're very persuasive. And there's things that they say. And I find that I'll come in here and I'll parrot some of the things they say. So I don't watch them as much. I wait until after we do our episode and then I do it.
I try to form my own opinion before I parrot them.
It's fine.
It was fine.
It's fine.
It was fine.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.